Hello and welcome to the audio ministry of Pure Heart Christian Center. We are located at 12236 Southwest 128th Street near the Tamiami Airport in the Kendall area. I want to invite you now to join our lead pastor, Dennis Penton, as he dynamically shares another life-transforming message from God's Word.
We got a lot of fun activities for the kids, and we will be giving out toys to the kids at the end of the service. And so there's a few people out there manning the different booths. There's games, and there's things that maybe you can enjoy at the end. Don't leave yet. But if you're with us today, if you happen to have your Bibles, which we know that every good Christian has a Bible, whether it's a hard copy of a Bible or whether it's online, I want you just to look at the we're going to look at the nativity story. I'm not going to look at the whole thing, but just a portion found in Matthew. I was looking recently this week. In fact, I was looking at what the top gifts are. I know that a lot of us kind of stress over what to get people during Christmas, and probably it's a little too late right now. Of course, I've heard that men do all their shopping on Christmas Eve, which is so there's still time for you. But here's what I heard are the top gifts according to goodhousekeeping.com. If you're into electronics, the top gifts are Fitbit. Okay, we see one there. I see the hand. Thank you. Fitbit, that kind of, I guess that just, Tony, it tells you how many steps you take a day, personally.
Total activity for the
day. Does it tell you how many you should have or no?
You set goals.
Okay, you set goals and okay.
You
monitor your sleep and everything.
Heart rate,
the whole nine yards. Okay, well, that's one of the top gifts. One of the top gifts this year is a Fitbit. Second on the list was a JBL wireless headphones. I thought it was the Beats, but it was JBL. Sorry. Nintendo Switch. I don't even know what that is. I heard Nintendo, but what is a Switch? A console? A game console? A new one that's better, of course. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Jonas. A new one that's better. Yeah. It's an upgraded version to what you have. So whatever you have, you need a Switch. Okay. If you haven't have an old one. Whatever you have is not a Switch. It's too old. You need a new one. Okay. Now for toys. Speaking of toys, these I never heard of. A JoJo swinging doll. Ever heard of that? Maybe it's a girl's item that, we don't know. But, yeah, that was top on the list. A Tello drone. Yeah, drones are pretty hot right now, pretty hot selling items. And always popular every year, Legos. I have a little kid that comes, I have a little stash of little trinket toys. And at the end of the service, sometimes I get a lot of kids in there and I give them toys. And I have one kid in particular every week. If he makes his way into my office, he says, "Do you have any Legos?" Asked me for Legos, and I somebody said, I give him like two or three boxes, he still wants more Legos. So Legos are popular. Now, home appliances. What are the most popular things for home appliances? Any guess? Microwave? No. Air fryer? No. Well, actually, maybe air fryer. I'm not going to give you like the top 10, but here are the ones that I came up with. Keurig coffee maker, number one. Yeah. This one I never heard of, Vitamix blender. That's like a ninja or a bullet, something like that. And here's the one that I tried to get my wife, but I'm not going to be able to, the iRoomba. How nice, just like a remote, it's like a remote vacuum. And I went to get it, and I'm like, probably because I felt guilty because I should probably help her some more around the house. And I'm thinking, there's a good redemption gift, until I found out the price. Man, that thing is expensive. I think I'm better off getting the broom myself. I got to get back on the broom. Okay. And that was the third most popular. Now, the worst gifts. We all receive gifts that we don't like. Don't raise your hand. Don't even look up. Okay. Here are the worst gifts. For women, any idea? Pots and pans. That should be on there. No, women, I found this interesting. Perfume. women don't like getting perfume. And I think a lot of this is like a millennial thing that we're all offended. And anything that we get, we kind of read into it too much. Like, what are you trying to say? Smell? Okay. So I don't know. Because the ones that came out here kind of are like this. Number one for women, perfume. Number one for men, socks. Socks. So I know some of you are thinking, I got to run to the mall right now because I got to run back. Worst gifts. Worst gifts for anything that's Christmas themed, like the ugly Christmas sweater, Christmas boots, Christmas tie. Nobody likes those. I don't know. Christmas food. So giving away like, you know, gingerbread cookies or the famous fruitcake that we've been circulating for the last 20 years. Here's the last two. People don't like receiving these. Self-help books. Joel Osteen, Your Best Life Now. Don't give it. Might be a great book, but no. Self-help books. Because I think people read into them. I think they take it personal. Here's the last one that people don't want to get. Workout DVDs. So, don't raise your hands, but I'm thinking the way you're looking at me, some of you have to run to the mall and exchange those gifts, okay? But, you know, I think as you look at this list, there's sometimes one of the things it shows is there's a great disconnect sometimes between what we want and what we get. And in our culture, our consumer culture, we've created this inability to discern between what we want and what we need, because good marketing makes you feel like you need this when you really don't. No, I don't really need, you know, a pearl necklace. I don't really need a diamond-studded watch. But it makes you feel like you do, right? And because of that, I think the line between wants and needs oftentimes gets blurred, and I think children need to be taught this, because I think inherently, as we grow, as you're a child, you don't always know the difference. You leave your child to themselves, and they will eat ice cream every day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Okay, and because they lack, you know, by definition, they lack the maturity, they lack the sense of responsibility, they lack that discerning. I know that for me, for instance, I as a young kid, I wanted toys and I wanted games and I wanted money, right? But my parents also, although they obliged me with many of the toys and the games I wanted, they also made sure they gave me what I needed. I needed clothing. I needed food, right? I needed socks. I needed underwear. I needed some of those things. And, you know, and those are things that when I got, I just kind of threw them off to the side. But my mom and my dad, they knew I needed those things. In fact, you can make a case, I needed that more than I needed the toy, more than I needed the games, more than I needed the money, right? I didn't want them, but that's what I got, right? Now when God looked at humanity, he immediately knew what we needed. And in many cases, he knew that what we needed was not always what we wanted, right? And because he knew what our intimate needs were, he was able to provide the perfect gift. It says in Isaiah 9, verse 6, to us a child is born, to us a son is given. That's God's idea of the perfect gift for all humanity. God gave us a son, his very own. God gave us a child, right? And the fulfillment of that we begin to see over in Matthew. In Matthew chapter 1, it says in verse 21, it says, and she will have a son, speaking of Mary, and you will name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. That was his mission. Jesus was born as a baby, but he wasn't going to stay a baby. He had a mission to accomplish. And that mission is actually ingrained within his name. Jesus happens to be a variant of Yeshua, which is a variant of Joshua, which means the Lord saves. Right? So Jesus is the same New Testament version of the Old Testament name Joshua. Right? So why? Because he will save his people from his sins. And now it says in verse 22, now all this happened in order to make come to true what the Lord had said through the prophet. A virgin will become pregnant and have a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Jesus Christ, God's Son, our perfect gift. Jesus was born like all of us were born. Yet he was not an ordinary baby, right? The Bible says, as you read the Gospels and you read the and you read the prophets and you read the epistles, you realize something more miraculous, more spectacular, is packaged in that baby. You realize God came to earth, right? Now I want you to think about that for a moment, because we, perhaps in our lifetime, maybe even before that, but if you look back, you know, in the last couple of hundred years, you realize there have been some pretty spectacular events. The discovery of electricity. That's pretty important. Thank the Lord we don't have to walk around with candles. Some of you guys lose electricity during a tropical storm, and listen, they might as well just, you're fit to be tied. Yeah, hotel. Light bulb, the discovery of the light bulb, the discovery of the telephone, the cell phone that you have. I understand that the cell phone that you have has more information in your cell phone than they had in the original Apollo mission to the moon. That's pretty crazy. You know, the invention, think about it, the invention of the airplane, the invention of the automobile. I mean, these are all inventions, some of them, you know, not within our lifetime, but just, you know, maybe shortly removed from our lifetime. The fact of a computer, anytime, listen, a computer, you realize how easy things are? You know, our dog over the last couple of weeks has been sick, and I'm trying to discover, okay, what can she eat, what can she not eat? And all of a sudden, on my fingertips, Google it. Can my dog eat chocolate? No. Chocolate is toxic for dogs. Can my dog eat onions? No. No onions, no garlic, no chocolate, no grapes, no star fruit. But you have it in your fingertips. You realize, young ones, that when I was your age, it sounds so old, when I was your age, we used to have to go to the library. You know what that is? And you know what a library is? It's an antique of a thing, right? And you had to go to an encyclopedia. If you had money for an encyclopedia, right, you had to find it in the encyclopedia, or you had to go to the library to find out, and it would take you, usually, it was a mission. Right? But now we have that all available. Now, when man landed on the moon, that was a spectacular event to see Neil Armstrong step on the moon. Many of you remember exactly the day when the World Trade Center was attacked. You know exactly where you were. It was a spectacular event. But listen, I want to tell you that all those things pale in comparison to what took place the first Christmas. God invaded earth in the form of his son. And the world from that point forward was forever changed, right? Now, when God came into the world, he came like you and I come, as a baby, right? And eventually went, and we know that he eventually, because it was in his name, because it was in his destiny, because it was his mission, okay, we know that he went from the crib to the cross. And he did it to save us from our sins. That's why the Bible says to us, for unto you is born a Savior. Don't take those words trivially or lightly, because those words mean that we need saving. Salvation was our greatest gift. I may have wanted other things. You ask people nowadays, what is it you want for the new year? Most people, especially in the Latin culture, would say, as long as I'm healthy. Salud. No, salvation. Right? See, as a child, I wanted toys, but I needed clothing. I wanted games, but I needed food. I wanted money, but I needed a savior. See, our world is looking for someone that can address the problems within it, but we still can't agree on what the greatest needs of humanity are. So we can't agree on the type of person that we need. Someone will look at the economic scene and say, we need a great economist. Somebody will look at how fragmented we are as nations and say, we need a great military strategist. Somebody will look at how some kids in other countries don't get an education, and we say, we need an educator. Some people would say, some people are starving. What we need is a good agriculturalist. Some people would say, what we need is more technology. Others will say, we need a scientist. Some would say, we need a doctor that can take care of and cure all those evil diseases. And the point here is that our world is filled with a diversity of problems, and we can't even agree because we don't really know what we need the most. But God knows what we need the most. And he says we need a savior. Now, if you didn't need a savior, then Christmas was a waste. Why would have God wasted his time if that wasn't our greatest need? But that was the greatest need. And Christmas is the greatest event in all of humanity. It's the greatest event because God came down. Neil Armstrong stepped on the moon, but Jesus Christ stepped on the earth. Right? God's son landed. And that's, you can't compare that event with anything else. Now, here's what the Bible says about Jesus. It says that he was the Word. He was with God. Okay? He was God. And it says in John chapter 1, verse 14, okay, that he took on flesh. That's where we get the idea of the incarnation. Incarnation means that you put on carne, which means flesh, right? So Jesus took on flesh, and it says, and he lived among us. Now, this is important to know because it's Jesus' life. Some people would teach this, and it's not right. It's not correct. Some people would teach that Jesus began his life in the manger. No, he didn't. Okay, he existed even before the manger, even before Bethlehem. In fact, if you look over in Colossians chapter 1, you're going to find some pretty incredible language there describing Jesus. It says in verse 15 of Colossians 1, Christ says is the visible image of the invisible God. He's the representation to a God that we couldn't see. And whenever there's a God that you can't see, you're going to have difficulty identifying with things you can't see. Right? He says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. He existed before. Look at the person that you say, he was. Yeah, he was before all things. Right? Now, think about how he is the visible image of the invisible God. We have a difficult time relating to an invisible being. Because to us, invisible means impersonal. That's not always true, but that's what we think. And because that's the way people thought, that I have a hard time relating to an impersonal, quote unquote, and an invisible God, then Jesus came down to show us what God was like. He told one of his disciples, In John 14, he says, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father also. Right? And in that incarnation, when Jesus was born, what he did was he clothed himself with humanity. I want you to know and understand that we're not talking about a fable. We're not talking about a myth. We're not talking about a nice story. We're talking about Jesus Christ born as a real person. And it says in Philippians that of his own free will, he gave up all he had. Where? In heaven. He gave up all he had, and he took on the nature of a servant, and he became like a human being and appeared in human likeness. He took on human clothing. Right? And Isaiah says, a virgin will conceive, and you're going to call him Emmanuel. Because it means God is now living with us. God among us. God with us. So Jesus did this, so why? So that we can better relate to him. Now, I don't want to bore you with details of my dog, so I will talk about your dog. How many of you are dog owners? Okay, a couple of you guys are dog. How many of you are cat owners? cat owners. How many of you own a bird? Good. One. Good. Good. Yeah, listen. You're special, brother. Okay. Okay. How many have fish? Fish? Anything else that's exotic? Anybody own a ferret or a hamster or a gerbil or a guinea pig? Okay. A what? A bearded dragon. Okay. That's cool. That's a cool pet. Kids? Kids sometimes qualify. Okay. Yeah. We all have, you know, different pets. But think about this for a moment. Think about the best way. Sometimes I think about my pet, you know, and I think, what is this dog thinking? You ever ask yourself, what is she thinking? Like sometimes she'll do weird things. Like she'll just she'll spaz out. And she'll stay perfectly still, staring into nothing for like a long time. And I'm thinking, what's going on through her brain, man? And sometimes you're asking her name is Penelope. Penelope, come here. And she'll just keep walking. I mean, she'll just completely ignore you. And I'll think, are you deaf? Or are you just hard-headed? I don't know. I don't know how to make sense of her behavior. You know, we love her to death. You know, she's a great dog. But I say that why? Because here's the point. If you want to better communicate with your dog, the only way to do that is to become a dog. Yeah. I would understand why she does what she does if I became a canine. Then I would understand why she barks randomly at night. Then I would understand because it's, you know, it's something that only dogs could understand, right? And so the same thing happens with a bird, whether you own a bird or a bearded dragon or a cat or whatever the case might be. Okay, in order to better understand, you have to become one, right? So think about this. That's precisely what God did through the incarnation. He wanted to better communicate with us, so he became one of us. And I want you to know that Jesus became like us, and he was human in every single way. We call him the God-man. Why? Because he was 100% God, but he was also 100% man. I mean, that means that he was born like us. There wasn't no flashy entrance. There was no, you know, he came in the middle of the night in a smelly stable. Didn't probably have anywhere near the sanitary conditions that we had unless you were born, you know, in a third world country in some poor region where you had to be born in a house. So that's how he was born. He was born like most of the world was born. He grew up like us. He looked like the average Jewish person from Israel. Right? He had brothers and sisters. Yeah, the Bible tells us he had brothers and sisters. And in fact, some people are shocked to find out Mary, as great as she wasn't a virgin forever. She had other children after Jesus. Right? And so he had siblings and he went to school and he learned a trade as a carpenter. And here's one that helps us a lot. He was tempted like we're tempted. He went through the same struggles that we went through. Yet the Bible says that when he was tempted, he didn't sin. So he was perfect. So he experienced the same pressure, the same desires, but he never gave in to any of the desires that would have been considered evil desires, right? And that means that Jesus can relate to us when we go through our temptation. So he was what? He was just like us. He was just like us in that he suffered like us. He felt pain. He felt disappointment. He knew what it was like to have his heart broken and have all his best friends abandon him and feel that betrayal. He knows what it was like to feel hungry. He knows what it was like to be thirsty. He knows, okay, he grieved, in fact. He knows what it was like to be lonely. The Bible even says that he cried over Jerusalem. Right? So he was fully human in every way. Now, as you look, if you're following the outline, I want you to just take a look at the second point. All that took place for a reason. Because ultimately his destiny was to lay down his life for us. Philippians 2, it says, verse 8, says he walked the path of obedience all the way to death, his death on the cross. During Easter, there'll be a lot of little controversy going on. Well, who crucified Jesus? Was it the Romans? Romans are saying, Italians are saying, no, it wasn't us. It was the Jews. Jews are saying, no, it wasn't us. It was the Gentile. And listen, no one forced him there. Right? No one forced him. When you read this life of Jesus, you realize, listen, he just surrendered to whoever it was. It doesn't really matter who it was, but he surrendered. He laid his life down voluntarily. And why did he do that? Why would he lay his life down? For two reasons. One, it was to demonstrate to us God's love. God showed his love for us. This is in Romans 5, verse 8. God showed his love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Right? What does this tell me? Don't ever question God's love. Don't ever think God has forgotten you. Don't ever think God has abandoned you. Don't ever think that God is mad at you. All you need to do to recognize that God loves you is look at the cross. Because the cross is the representation of God's love towards humanity, right? And the Bible says this, there is no greater love than to lay down your life for one's friends. Before we were ever born, before we even knew him, he knew us, and he went through with it. How crazy is that? And so he did it to show God's love, but here's the second one. The second reason, he did it as a payment for our sins. Remember we talked about that in the scripture, it says, okay, you call him Jesus for he will save his people from their sins. Sin is an issue. We don't like talking about that, right? We want to know how to live my best life now. But you can't live your best life now until you deal with one of the central themes in the Bible, and that is the problem of sin. And Jesus, by coming down to earth, addressed the problem of sin. See, when you break the law, you got to pay the penalty. You got to pay the fine for the law that you break. And when you break God's laws, it's no different. You got to pay the penalty for breaking God's laws. And what's the penalty? The penalty, it says in Romans 6:23, it says, the wages of sin, what's wages? Payment. The payment. The consequences. The consequences of sin is death. Separation from God, right? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So you have two alternatives. Continue in your sin and reap death, or receive the gift and receive eternal life. God puts that before us. Okay, and continually in the Bible, God puts those choices, those two choices before us. Choose life today or choose death. As for you, okay, as for me and my house, Caleb says, we'll serve the Lord. And so what was the penalty? The penalty was death. And it says in 1 Peter 2, verse 24, it says, Christ himself carried our sins on his body to the cross. It is by his wounds that you have been healed. In other words, what does that mean? That means he paid the price for me. My sins were placed on him, and he became my substitute. He took my place. 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the sin offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ Jesus. You and I are right with God today if we've embraced and accepted Jesus, but we're right with God today not because we're good, not because we're kind, not because you've helped people during this jolly time of the year where we're used to helping people that are less fortunate. No. No, none of those things. Those things are great, okay? But no, the only way I can be right with God is through faith, okay? And I'm made right by the sacrifice of what Jesus did. So that means that what he did 2,000 years ago helps me to get right with God today. That's the real meaning of Christmas. That's the real message of Christmas. You ever heard the saying, it's the gift that keeps on giving? Well, Jesus, in a way, is the gift that keeps on giving. You know why? Because through Christ, God addresses the greatest needs that I have. Now, what are the greatest physical needs? Our greatest physical needs, I need air. I need water. I need food, right? I need shelter. Without any of those, I can't survive. But you know, you realize that there are other needs that we have. We have what they call psychosocial needs. We have spiritual needs. We, you know, and God knows what those needs are. And in many ways, those needs are just as important as our physical needs. Now, God addressed those needs because they are needs that deal with my soul. Right? And what are the needs that he addressed? Through what Jesus did. By Jesus giving his life for us, coming first through the manger, and then ultimately through the cross, he provided other things for me. And I'll go through these real quickly, but I think these are things that resonate with all of us. He provided something that I can't get naturally, and that is forgiveness for my past. Have you ever done something you regretted? Don't raise your hand. We know you're all guilty. I raise both hands, right? Maybe you bought something you regretted, buyer's remorse. Maybe you said the wrong thing to someone you cared about. Maybe you hurt someone. Maybe you betrayed someone that you really loved. And things are just not the same. And then you think back, man, if I could go in a time machine, time travel, and go back and relive that, I would have handled those things differently. See, we all have regrets. Now, here's what we don't always understand is that regret is a form of guilt, isn't it? And guilt has a devastating effect on our lives. Right? Because guilt robs me of happiness. You cannot be guilty and happy at the same time. Unless you're psychotic. There's medicine for that. Right? You can't. It's just, you know, they're too far removed from each other. And so what happens is that these regrets and this guilt, what does it do? It creates anxiety. It creates unhappiness. It creates depression. Guilt will make you sick. Right? And people will do anything to get rid of guilt. And what I've understood and what I've observed over the years is that people have guilt, but they don't know that the things that they're bringing into their lives is to relieve their guilt. And they haven't connected the dots that what they're doing is to try to get rid of their guilt. And they don't often see it that way, but it is, because it's a need. It's the greatest need that we have, is to be forgiven. And so what do you see? You see people trying to drown the pain of their lives. And what do? They clock out on Friday at 5 o'clock, man, and it's what? It's to Publix, it's to the liquor store, it's to get the six-pack, and they begin what? They begin their drinking binge all weekend long until Sunday. No wonder they're hungover on Monday. But listen, what is it? A lot of times, they don't even look at it. They look at it as just a time of, you know, it's a time to disconnect, but it's a time to not face reality. And the alcohol helps you to not face the reality of what? I feel remorseful. I feel regret. I feel heaviness. And we don't want to deal with it. So what will we do? We'll try to do anything to drown the pain, whether it's overeating or alcohol or drugs or relationships or workaholism or whatever other addiction it might be. A lot of those things, we do them to numb the pain. Not knowing that the only solution is to receive God's forgiveness. Because that's what's at the core, right? So God forgives me for my past. And God's forgiveness is complete. It's instantaneous. So that means if you ask Jesus into your life today, he will forgive you right there on the spot. And that means if you were to die tonight, you'd be right in God's presence. And you would say, God, please don't hold that against me where I betrayed my spouse. He says, I don't have a record of that. God, would you please not hold that against me when I spoke so harshly to my son? I don't remember that. God, would you please help me because of all the things that I took, you know, that didn't belong to me? God, that's not on the record. What I have on the record is that you've been forgiven. That your debt's been paid. That's what's on the record. Right? So somebody say, praise God for that. Praise God. Yeah, praise God. Because that's a debt that we could never satisfy. Right? So he gives me forgiveness for my past. Here's the second thing that he gives me through Christ. He gives me strength for my present. December's a tough month. It's a time of joy. Time of peace. Time of goodwill towards men. But I would venture to say that not many people are feeling joy, peace, or goodwill towards men during December. We're more stressed and frazzled and, you know, and worked up and tired and fatigued and exhausted, right? And depression, in fact, stats show depression, you know, peaks during December. Despair peaks during December. Suicides peak during December. People feel more lonely, people feel more helpless, more upset during December than during any other month of the year. Maybe we're thinking about loved ones that are no longer with us. Or maybe the hype of Christmas becomes anticlimactic because we don't know the significance. Maybe if all you're doing is being involved in the commercial aspect of Christmas, then of course it's going to be highly stressful for you because it's not going to result in what you envision in your mind that it should result. But here's the good news. Good news is that Jesus gives you power to manage your present situation. I get encouraged by what happened in that nativity story. You realize that one of the first people that the good news was described or proclaimed to, you realize that those were the shepherds. Do you know that the shepherds were not really well liked? They were the marginalized. They were the rejects of that society. They were the lower class. Okay, they were disrespected. Nobody wanted to be with them. And yet, I find great encouragement in that the angels appeared to them. Right? Imagine that for a moment. Imagine that the hopeless and the downtrodden and the poor and the marginalized and the people that were rejected, they've not been forgotten by God. That's the message of Christmas. But even beyond that, what that means is that for me, what it means is I can receive strength for whatever issues I'm going through right now. Forgives me for my past, gives me the Holy Ghost to help me overcome whatever circumstance I'm in right now. Listen, I want to tell you, God has not forgotten you, and whatever you're going through, you can make it. Amen. Because God's on your side. Yes. You can persevere. Why? Because God is with you. And because God is with you, you can face those challenges with a completely different perspective than someone who God is not on their radar. And here's the third thing that Christ gives us. So he gives us strength for our present. He gives us forgiveness for our past. And then finally, he gives me what? Hope for my future. We love to dream about the future. But we don't want to go too far ahead. Because too far ahead means that we're old and facing what every one of us will eventually face, which is death. And we don't like talking about this. So bring me to the future, to a favorable time. Don't bring me to a time when I'm gasping for air, when I'm clenching my heart, where I'm battling with chemo. Okay. Don't take me to that time. And yet this is something that's common, that's a common fear for all of us. We don't like to deal with something that's inevitable and completely natural. I remember as being a chaplain with Vitas years ago, and I encountered this dynamic. I don't know if this happens in all cultures, but it was prevalent among the Latin culture. And in the Latin culture, you have a patient that's dying. Okay, they put him in hospice, and he tells the doctor, "I know I'm dying. Don't tell my family." And then the doctor will step outside to where the family is, and the family will say to the doctor, "We know he's dying. Please don't tell him." Yeah. And I see this dynamic repeating itself all the time. They don't want, and what is it? They don't want to talk about it. It's hard to talk about, right? It's hard. It's a hard subject to broach. It's a hard subject to discuss. And mainly one of the reasons why it's hard is because we feel so uncertain about what's going to happen. But listen, Jesus told us what would happen. He says, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come back and I will receive you to myself so that where I am, there you may be also." Now, that addresses the issue of the universal fear that we have of death. You don't need to be afraid of dying. And the reason that we're fearful is because we don't know. But once you have Christ, you know. And so as a believer, you know what we do know is that death for a Christian is what? It is just a transition.
Yes.
It's a homecoming.
Yes.
Right? And through the forgiveness that we've received, if you were to die today, next year, 100 years from now, okay, if you are in Christ, you have a heavenly home waiting for you. And that heavenly home is far better and greater than anything you could ask, think, or imagine that we've experienced down here. And I say this because somebody once said, it's foolish for you to go through life unprepared for something that's inevitable. Mortality, is it 100%? Everybody has to step through that door, right? So don't be a fool. Don't be a fool and not plan for something that you cannot stop. Jesus gives us hope. Hope for the future. So what happens after all this? Two things. Not only do we need to recognize the gift, we need to also receive the gift. If Jesus did not come to earth, we would not have known what God was like. We would not have known that God was personal, that God was accepting, that God was loving, that God has a plan and God has a purpose for our lives. In Colossians, I'm going to give you a couple other verses from the same book of Colossians, two verses afterward. It says, Christ is the one through whom God created everything in heaven and earth. Did you catch that? He made it all. Who? Who made it all? Jesus. Right? He made the things we see and the things we can't see. Everything has been created through him and for him. That means, you know what that means? That baby that we celebrate, that baby made you. He made you and he made you for him. Verse 17, he existed before everything else began and he holds all things together. But see, we understand this to be a great gift, but it's not a gift until you receive it. Imagine for a moment that you gave me a Christmas gift today. Pastor was thinking about you, and I baked this cheesecake. Praise God. Or whatever it is. Maybe, I don't know, maybe you wrapped it up and you gave it to me, and I left it in my office, and you came back a month later, and then you asked me, hey, how was that gift I gave you? First of all, you'd be upset if I didn't respond within a week. At least text you, hey man, thanks. But then let's say you weren't upset. Let's say you asked me, hey, how was that gift? What if I all of a sudden said to you, hey man, thank you, that gift was awesome, but it's in the corner of my desk, I haven't opened it yet. You know what you would think? You say, man, that guy's a jerk. Come on, tell the truth and shame the devil. Yeah, you would think that. You may not say that to me, but you would think that, right? Okay, why? Because a gift does you no good until you receive it, right? Millions, here's the irony. Millions of people will celebrate Christmas this year, but not receive the gift of Christmas. They'll go through all the festivities, they go through all the commercialization, the building of the tree and the lights and everything else. But listen, they might even go to church, but they've never recognized or received the gift. You have to receive the gift. And the gift is connected to your search. Most people are searching for something. Most people are searching and they don't even know what they're searching for. But you ask them and the way that they respond tells you what they're searching for. I just want to know that there's more meaning to life than this. Some people might say, I just want to feel happy. Some people might say, I just want my kids to grow up and be safe. Others were saying, I just want my kids to stop fighting. Some would say, I just want to be, I want to be at peace or I want to feel healthy or whatever the case might be. People have all these things that they go through their minds because they're searching. But listen, beneath all those desires is an even deeper desire. And that deeper desire is that it's your soul yearning to connect with your Creator. It's your heart longing to connect with God, right? You were made by Him and you were made for Him. And until you recognize that you were made for him, you will live with that spiritual void for the rest of your life. And so I want to encourage you, stop searching. Stop searching, because you and I both know in all the things that you've tried, it's not in any of those things that you've tried. It starts with getting in tune with your Creator and understanding that he loves you and understanding that he knows everything about you. You have to recognize the gift, who the gift is, Jesus Christ, God's Son, and you have to receive that gift. And when you receive that gift, amazing things happen in your life. Now, I know today people come for different reasons. It's the gifts, you know, we give out toys for kids. But regardless why you're here, God brought you here for a reason. And he brought you here to let you know that your life matters, that your life is important. You matter to him. Doesn't matter what you've gone through. What you've gone through is not indicative of God's abandonment of you. It has nothing to do with God abandoning you. God loves you. He loves you enough that he brought you here for me to tell you that that's what you need to know.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And he says, and listen, I have a gift for you. I know everything there is about you. I know everything there is about your life. I know the good points, the high points, the low points, the ugly points. I know the things that you're proud of. I know the things you're ashamed of. I know when you've done good. I know when you've done bad. And I want you to know that I still have a purpose for your life. And I want you, God says, I want you to get to know me. I know you. Now it's time for you to get to know me. And how do you do that? You do that very simply by surrendering your life to him. Millions will go through this holiday never receiving the most important gift of all, which is the gift of Christ. Don't you be one of them. Make sure that you go through Christmas this year with having in your heart, in your life, the central figure to Christmas, which is Christ.
Thank you so much for having joined us today for this impacting message. I trust that God has touched your life through it and stirred in you a renewed passion for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Lord is faithful, and he wants to touch your life in a powerful way. He alone can meet your deepest needs and give your life meaning, no matter what situation you may be in right now. So be encouraged, friend. Trust him and be assured that I will be praying for you. If you are in the Miami area and do not have a home church, why don't you come out and join us? We are near the Tamiami Airport in Kendall and located at 12236 Southwest 128th Street. Our service times are Sundays at 9 a.m. in Spanish and 11 a.m. in English. God bless you. I look forward to meeting you soon.
Well, thank you for being with us. You've been listening to Pastor Dennis Penton and the audio ministry of Pure Heart Christian Center. It is our prayer that this message has been a challenge to your heart and your life. If you would like prayer, please call the church office at 305-969-7873. We would love to have the opportunity to connect with you in prayer. For more information about us, visit our website at www.pureheartchristian.org. And also, while you're on Facebook, make sure you visit us at the Pure Heart Christian Center page and click on Like Us. Until next time, may God's Spirit bless you mightily.